Welcome to Preaching and Preachers, a weekly podcast devoted to those who preach and to the task of preaching itself. I'm your host, Jason Allen, president of Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. Today, I want to welcome Dr. Rick Reed to the podcast. Dr. Reed serves as president of Heritage College and Seminary in Cambridge, Ontario, Canada. Prior to coming to Heritage, Dr. Reed served as a pastor in California and Ontario. He has been a plenary and seminar presenter for Billy Graham's School of Evangelism and is a master coach for the Global Proclamation Academy in Dallas, Texas, with Reach Ministries. Our conversation today will be largely about his new book, The Heart of the Preacher, Preparing Your Soul to Proclaim the Word. Dr. Reed, welcome to Preaching and Preachers.
Thank you very much, Jason. It's a delight to be talking with you.
Yeah, thank you for being with me today, and I wish you were in the studio, but you are in Canada, where this we're recording here early December, and where it is colder there than here, I am sure.
I think a bit.
So, to give us a word before we get into the book and the conversation today, a word of update on you and your family and your ministry there in Ontario.
Well, my family and I, we moved from California to Canada a little over 20 years ago, 21 years ago or so, where I was the pastor of a church called the Metropolitan Bible Church up in Ottawa, and served there. It was a wonderful church, and the nations had gathered there. I think we had 45 plus languages spoken in the congregation, and loved it, a mission-hearted church, loved the Word of God. And then 7 years ago, I was invited to come to Heritage College and Seminary here in Cambridge, which is about an hour west of Toronto. And we've been doing that. I serve as a president, but also get to teach the homiletics courses. And my book kind of arose out of some of the things that I was doing in the homiletics classroom.
Oh, very good. And tell us what's going on campus there, just the current dynamics at Heritage.
You know, it's really an exciting season. I was on your campus, as I mentioned, a couple of years ago and saw the energy and the way the Lord has breathed life and growth into it. And our seminary has gone through something similar. We had a debt, and as of October 1, that debt that was millions of dollars has been eradicated, and we've been given a large sum of money to build a new building for the seminary because it's had rather substantial growth over the last few years. So we just sense that our heart is to serve the church in Canada and beyond with grads that love the Lord, love the Word of God, preach the Word of God, shepherd the church, kind of boots on the ground, pastors, missionaries, church leaders, and the Lord seems to be granting a season of favor to us right now.
Well, God bless you and congratulations. I'm happy for you in that. And as one who serves in a similar capacity here, I'm very well aware of the broader context of theological education, the many challenges that most seminaries and colleges are facing. And so when God gives you a victory, it makes it all the more sweeter as you're aware of that broader setting. Well, listen, let's move towards the book and the conversation we want to have about it, The Heart of the Preacher, Preparing Your Soul to Proclaim the Word. Now, you've already kind of alluded to this, but unpack for us a touch about where this book came from, the burden you felt in drafting this book and in getting this message out. Give us a bit of your personal story and what brought you to this work.
Well, I realized early on, I went to a great seminary, I went to Dallas Seminary and was trained in expository preaching. And so I knew right from the beginning that preaching expositorially would be hard work, the rigors of study and crafting a compelling and clear outline and then delivering it with, believable passion. I knew all of that was hard work. But as I got into being a pastor over the years, I came to realize something else, is that the hardest part of being a preacher is not just the hard work of preparing, it's the heart work, H-E-A-R-T, heart work that you have to do all the time so that your sermons come from the right place within you, and they're not only exegetically accurate, but they are also authentic to what God's doing in your life. So I wrote the book as I worked with young preachers and connected with current preachers on some of the challenges that we face on a heart level as we're trying to proclaim God's word.
So let me press you a little bit more there. those heart challenges. Flesh that out a bit. And again, I don't know fully what all you've experienced in your ministry or what kind of made this need or this reality more prescient to you, more apparent to you, but flesh that out a touch.
Well, you know, as I got into ministry and I began to have a regular preaching ministry Sunday after Sunday, I was a solo pastor in a church in California. I realized that immediately I was facing these heart challenges that are often not that, you know, not readily spoken of among pastors, or I hadn't read a lot on them. You know, let me give you a few. You know, for example, I had to prioritize time to prepare for sermons in the midst of a busy pastoral charge. And I found that it was easy to find other things that filled those time slots and then to end up kind of preparing as a preacher in the cracks. And I began to realize this was not just a time management problem. It was really a self-control problem. I had to say, Lord, help me with this. And then when I did sit down to prepare, there was another challenge at times, and that was squandering the time I had, you know, distracting myself or instead of staying focused, kind of, you know, again, doing other things. And then after I preached, I realized there was another challenge. On Sundays when it seems that God had given, you know, liberty and you had preached well, I went home feeling relieved. I felt grateful. And then unwanted feelings of pride started to bubble up. And I thought, Lord, I don't want that. Or on Sundays when it didn't seem to go well, when the sermon felt flat, I walked away and my heart was feeling flattened. And I started to struggle with some insecurity. And then there were the issues of, you know, how do you preach when there's some turmoil in the church? How do you stand up and proclaim the word of God when you look out on some people who are scowling at you? And I realized that was another challenge that I had. So there were all these challenges that I was facing week after week, some weeks not dramatically, other weeks stronger. And then I would go perhaps to be with a group of other pastors, and I would hear about God working powerfully in the life and ministry of another preacher, and I would rejoice, and then suddenly my heart would start to feel competitive or to start to feel maybe comparative. So all these internal challenges that I called heart tests were playing at the same time that I was trying to prepare sermons week after week. So that's kind of what I was talking about on the tests that our hearts face as preachers.
Yeah, no, that's very helpful the way you fleshed that out here for our listeners. And by the way, those listening to the podcast largely are pastors, ministers, local church servants, seminary students. So what we're talking about is more than germane to our listeners. So I appreciate us having the opportunity to flesh this out with you for our listeners. And I appreciate the fact that in your book and in this conversation, you're making plain that ministry is heart work. That's not as opposed to head work. That's in addition to head work.
Yes.
But so very often you can get into, you know, the context of local church ministry and the busyness associated with that and find yourself kind of routinely cranking out sermons, cranking out presentations, cranking out lessons or lectures. And wake up one day and the heart has been removed far from the work and you're relying upon your head. Mm-hmm. And so I appreciate the fact that you're arguing, no, it's both. And as it comes to the burdens of ministry and the emotions of ministry, the affections of ministry, that is very much a heart reality, both as how we feel, as you just kind of tick through, flatness or discouragement if a sermon didn't go well, perhaps envy when you think of yourself and you juxtapose your current ministry reality with other ministers, you know. So all that's going on, and we are real human beings. Pastors are real human beings with real hearts, real emotions, real affections, real ups, real downs, real moments of exhilaration and ministerial triumph, real moments of discouragement, and perhaps even depression. So as you interact with pastors, what do you attribute this tendency to make what is a heart work into merely or only a head work?
That's a great question. Well, to start, you know, I think it's important to remember, and I think we've kind of come to this, those of us who've dug into Scripture, is that when the Bible uses the word heart, it's not using it in a way that often the word heart is used in common cultural parlance. The heart in the Bible is not just my feelings, right? It's you know, as Tim Keller likes to say, the heart not only thinks and feels, it plans, it decides, it trusts. It's the whole inner core of who we are. So when I see the heart, I think it's the driving passion of my life. And what can happen, as you just mentioned, is that I can become a ministry machine. I can, you know, I've got deadlines. I have to produce. And we can rely, you know, on our training, our skill, our background, our resources, and produce those things. But we all know that when we preach out of just that, there is something vital that's lacking. And so it's only as we keep our hearts, the core of who we are, in good order and in good places with the Lord, that really our sermons are going to have the impact that we all long for them to have.
You know, before I got into the studio here a few moments ago, I was in my office visiting with a couple of lay leaders in the local church, a pretty major church, and they came to meet with me about their current transition from their previous pastor, finding a new pastor. And that transition, unfortunately, was occasioned by a moral failing, not quite apparent when that pastor departed, but became very apparent in the weeks after his departure in the life of the pastor. And again, I am in my office having a consultation with these lay leaders about the state of their church and what they're seeking to sort through and how they're seeking to move forward. And I know in the back of my mind, I'm about to get on a podcast with you and talk about issues so related. And I find myself with such frequency having such conversations with local churches, ministerial teams, deacon bodies, elder bodies, in the aftermath of these moral, spiritual failures. And I can't help but think that so much of that goes back to, again, this subtle misconception of ministry being about producing content, sermons, lessons, but not first and foremost stewarding the heart of the minister. And the heart of the hearts of the congregants. Are you seeing this correlation as well?
Yeah, I think that it's a part that can get overlooked. We would all give assent to the fact that the heart of our soul, the heart of our life with Christ, is at the heart of our ministry. But functionally, that can get squeezed out by the pressures, the demands, the distractions, and even the temptations that we live with. And yet we can still continue to produce, at least for a time, but we become thin and brittle eventually. And then, as you say, we're much more prone to snapping, to breaking, to collapsing, if we don't have a continual replenishing of, you know, the heart side of our walk with Christ. And yet there are many, you know, Satan and the world and all those things are coming at our hearts. And what I see is that we as pastors and we as leaders, these kinds of issues often go subterranean. We, you know, they're underneath the surface, but they're not always spoken of. So we're all dealing with them on some level, either well or not so well, but we're doing so privately. And what I was trying to do in this little work was to raise some of those to the surface so that we could say, can we bring them into the light of Christ's presence and in the light of his word? What help does God give us in these very real tests that our hearts will encounter as we seek to preach his word?
You know, speaking of these heart tests, you mentioned 15 in your book. What are a couple that you find especially important for pastors to be aware of?
Yeah, I'm sure there's way more than 15, but these were 15 that, you know, I've dealt with. And let me just, I'll pick out just a couple that are on opposite ends of a spectrum. On one hand, I have a chapter on ambition. And the one following that is on comparison. You know, so ambition is, we all know you've got to have some ambition to get up off the couch and do something. Ambition's not necessarily a negative thing. I had one pastor tell me when he was looking to hire someone, he said, you got to hire a self-starter. And then he said this, if you got to carry the dog to fetch the stick, you don't need the dog. So, I mean, we know you got to have some ambition, some drive. But we also know that that same ambition can become fleshly ambition. So how do you, as a pastor, as a preacher, as a minister, how do you evaluate the ambition in your heart? So that was one. That's a test on one side. And then comparison goes right with that. You know, how do you deal with the fact that, you know, we as brothers who are in ministry, as leaders, we look and we see other people who have seemingly, you know, greater possibilities, greater opportunities, greater impact, greater usefulness. And how do we handle that inner turmoil that comes when we compare ourselves with others? So that's on one end of the spectrum. The other end, some of the tests that would come would be tests like laziness. And for pastors, laziness typically doesn't mean sitting around and playing video games. You know, you can be very, very busy, but you can be lazy busy. We do a million things, but are we living at a way that really cuts the life out of our ability to go deeper into God's word and preach sermons that flow out of the overflow? So that would be one. Or another challenge was stagnating. I think a lot of the preachers that I connect with, they're doing the best they know how, right? They're out there Sunday after Sunday. They're doing what they know how, and they don't have another gear that they know of. Like if I could go to another gear and do this better, I would. But they're saying, I'm doing the best I know how. People seem largely contented. You know, nobody's storming the doors. But they know that there's more there. They know that they've not achieved all that maybe they could, their potential. And yet we coast. We just do. So that's a test. Will I stagnate or will I keep growing? Those are some of the tests that I tried to isolate and highlight and talk about.
Yeah, I appreciate how you handle the topic of ambition. And we talk about it on this campus some in leadership settings, and we talk about channeled ambition. Mm. Look, you know, a church doesn't need an unambitious pastor. A seminary does not need unambitious faculty members. They need faculty members, and churches need pastors who have that ambition channeled in godly, God-honored ways. I mean, I want to extend my energies in a way that please the Lord, that it further the Great Commission, that strengthen the church, right? And so I appreciate how you handle that. But if ambition unbridled, unchanneled, that can lead us very quickly to very unhealthy places, both in what we try to accomplish and into senses of inferiority or senses of discouragement based upon what we're not accomplishing.
Very much so.
So you talk in your book, obviously and appropriately, about the importance of having a devotional life that is in addition to sermon preparation. Can you talk about how we should think of those two, one's devotional life and how that should intersect or not intersect with one's sermon preparation?
Well, what I would say, Jason, is that when we see ourselves as pastors, as preachers, we often see ourselves, rightfully so, as shepherds. Jesus told Peter, feed my sheep, you know, be a shepherd. And yet at the same time, we also acknowledge we're not only shepherds, we're sheep. I need a shepherd. And I think having a devotional life that's bigger and broader than my sermon prep is a way of acknowledging that before I'm a preacher, I am a Christian. I'm a follower of Christ. I am a son or a daughter of God. I am someone who draws my life from God. I don't just go to the scriptures as a professional to get up another sermon. I open up the scriptures because it's life, it's truth. And for me, that has been, over the years, it's just been my practice to spend time in the Word every day that's not immediately related to sermon prep. It may show up in a sermon someday, but that's not the goal. It's just to say, Lord, I need to commune with you. I need to abide in you. I need to be fed by your word. And I believe that when pastors do that, we're feeding our souls on a deep level, and we're less prone to become religious professionals who treat the word of God as just a toolbook or toolbox to get up our latest talk or our latest sermon. So I think it's an important thing. George Mueller used to talk about his number one and primary business of the day was to get his soul happy in God. And I think that's well said.
Yeah, very well said. Of course, John Piper has picked up on that and talked about starting one's day by getting happy in Jesus similarly. Mm. And boy, there's so much we could talk about here in so many different places. I want to go, but our time is rapidly passing. So let me try to focus the conversation today on one final question. You talk in your book, you end your book with the exhortation to keep your first love. Walk us through what that would look like.
You know, that title and that chapter came out of a time. I've been to Israel one time, and my wife and I went there, and we went to a place called Mensa Christi, which is the place they commemorate Jesus' early breakfast on the shore with the disciples post-resurrection. And I was with a group of pastors and wives, and we gathered near the shoreline, and someone read the passage that tells us about Jesus' interaction with Peter. And I remember that day, there wasn't too many dry eyes in our circle, because like Peter, most of us could see ourselves as those who had at times overpromised and underdelivered in our following of Christ. We had fallen. We had not always lived up to what we wished we could be. We stumbled. And that day, as we read that account of Jesus restoring Peter, first to himself, but then to his service, it was a very meaningful thing. And in the context, what stood out to me from the passage in John is when Jesus calls Peter back into ministry, and he calls him to be a preacher there, a pastor, you know, where he says, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, tend my sheep. His question was, Peter, do you love me? It wasn't like, Peter, do you love my sheep? And I think we are to love the sheep. I think we are to love our brothers. It's clear in the scripture. But at the root of what drives us as preachers needs to be saying, Jesus, I'm doing this because I love you. This is one tangible expression of living out my love for who you are and what you've done for me. And the more I, as a preacher, as a person, as a pastor, the more my life is fueled by a love for Christ, I keep that first love, the more my preaching bears the stamp of Christ's impact on my life. And that's what I meant by keeping that first love. It's not always easy to do, but boy, is it essential.
Boy, that last sentence, we'll just let that hang in the air. It's not always easy to do, but boy, is it essential. Both of those are so true. Prioritizing, making time, being self-disciplined, getting out of bed, so you can actually be committed to following Christ and the practicalities of the Christian religion. And we must be about that business. While we're making visits and Amen. Responding to correspondence and preparing sermons, to first and foremost be devoted followers of Christ. For as we do, only our hearts can be right. And as our hearts are right, only then can we be faithful gospel ministers. Rick, thank you so much for joining me on Preaching and Preachers. May the Lord give your book, The Heart of the Preacher, Preparing Your Soul to Proclaim the Word, out with Lexham Press. It give it broad distribution and a very wide readership. Thank you for joining me today as my guest.
Dr. Allen, it's been a delight, and may God continue to favor you and the work you're doing at Midwestern. Bless you very much.
Thank you for being with us today and for listening to Preaching and Preachers. For more information, go to my website, jasonkallen.com. That's jasonkallen.com.